Well, good morning, everyone. We are continuing through the book of Hebrews, so please turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 4. And we have been learning each week through this book of Hebrews the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ and his superiority over all. And we've seen that Jesus is God. And I repeat this every week so that we'll remember it. Jesus is God. He is better and greater than the angels. We've seen that. He is better and greater than Moses or any of the Old Testament prophets. We've seen that. It's been taught to us clearly. And now we're learning from chapters 3 and 4 that Jesus provides a better rest for the people of God. And we've seen some big themes here, some big concepts. We've seen this idea of rest and how it depends on our hearts. This idea of heart is coming out, and belief and good news and wrath. And we'll see even today in our text that God knows our hearts and his word exposes our hearts. And really the main point of chapter 3 and 4 is this, that there is rest for the faithful in Jesus, but there is wrath for rebels. And a lot of people, we like to leave that other part off, that end part. That's kind of hard, wrath for rebels. Wrath, but it's clear in the scriptures. There is rest for the faithful and wrath for rebels. And so we choose between rest and wrath. We choose Jesus, we find rest for our souls. We reject Jesus and we have wrath. Eternal wrath on our souls. And so the question for us today is anyone tired? Is anyone weary? Is anyone searching for rest for your soul? Where can we find true rest for our anxious and weary souls? And you won't find it on TV or any of the commercials or marketing there. You won't find it in anything of this world. You won't find it even in your own abilities or your own works. You will find it only truly in Jesus Christ. And we learned last time that there is a rest for the people of God. And we learned that the Israelites of the Old Testament could not enter that rest due to their unbelief and disobedience. And we'll see today that we won't find rest in the things that a lot of people think they'll find rest in. You won't find rest in a day, even in the Sabbath day. That's not where the true rest of God is or can be found. It's not even in a land, the promised land. As we're reading the book of Hebrews, it was written to the Hebrew people, the Jewish people. And they firmly believed that one day Messiah would bring them into a land and there would be true rest for their souls in the land. And there was a lot of focus on finding rest in the land. And that when they got to the promised land, they would have rest for their souls. And we're going to see in our text today, no, it's not even in the land that you find rest. No, we find rest for our souls in a person. It's in the person of Jesus Christ, and that's what the text is going to teach us today. We find rest for our souls in Jesus Christ by faith. We find it, and we have it by faith. And so let's look deeper into the scriptures to understand what this rest of God really is and how we can have his true rest for our weary and restless souls. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to work our way through verses 1 through 13. And I want to read those, and then we're going to work our way through them line by line, verse by verse. So Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. So he's talking about them. He's talking about the Israelites who wandered in the wilderness. They did not enter the rest of God because they didn't believe. They had no faith. They heard the good news, just as we hear the good news, but they didn't believe, and so they had no rest for their souls. Verse 3, for we who have believed enter that rest. As he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered into God's rest also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. And so we see there is a rest for the people of God. So what is that rest? How can we have that rest that he's talking about? Look at the first several verses here. Let's go back to verse 1. He says, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, and he's quoting Psalm 95, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. So let's pause here and consider this statement. He says, we who have believed enter that rest. If this is true, and those who have believed have entered into the rest of God, then there's some logical conclusions we can come to here just from this verse. It's logical to conclude that the rest of God that's being spoken of here is not a place. It's not a place. It's not the promised land. Because if we have entered it by believing, it is not a physical place. It can't be, because none of us, when we believed in the Lord Jesus, were physically transported to the promised land, were we? If you were, I'd love to hear that story. I mean, that did not happen. And so he says we enter that rest through faith. There's a connection here. You can see it right in the words, between rest and faith, belief. And so it can't be a physical place. And also, there's some other logical conclusions. Since we who have believed have entered that rest, it's also logical to conclude that the rest of God that's being spoken of here is not a day either. It's not the Sabbath day. Again, we can conclude this because the Sabbath day is a time. We can't enter a certain time simply by believing. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not physically transported to a different place. We're not even physically transported to a different time. These are just logical conclusions from the statement that's been made. So believing is a state of our hearts and our minds. It's not bound by time and space like the Sabbath day or the promised land. And these are heavy concepts, very weighty, important concepts, especially to a Hebrew Jewish audience. I mean, these would be like, wow, man, you're just shattering everything I've ever learned by saying this. And this is big stuff. And so we can conclude here that it's not a day or a time. And there's even more scripture to back that up. Look at verse 4. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do Do not harden your hearts. And so here in verse 4, he's quoting Genesis chapter 2. So turn in your Bibles back to Genesis chapter 2, all the way back, right after the preface and introduction. Genesis chapter 2, way back there. He's quoting Genesis chapter 2, and let's look at the first three verses there. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and God has just finished creating all of the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 says that. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. And so God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Now, did God stop because he was tired? Did God stop and rest on the seventh day because he was tired? No. God doesn't get tired or weary. No, he didn't stop because he was tired. He stopped because the work was complete and perfect. It was finished. The work was finished. God blessed the seventh day as a Sabbath rest and made it holy. He made it holy. He blessed the day as a Sabbath rest and made it holy. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. Turn to your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 5. I want us to understand the context of this Sabbath day and its importance, and why this teaching is so important. Why the Jewish audience would consider the Sabbath day their rest. Deuteronomy chapter 5, starting at verse 12. This is right in the middle of the Ten Commandments. It's also in the book of Exodus, but I'm reading from Deuteronomy here, chapter 5, starting at verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock. You taking good notes on this? You getting all this? There's a lot here, right? And I'm not even halfway through. Or the sojourner who is with you, is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This is the fourth commandment. This is the fourth commandment. Now, to say that you no longer have to observe that the rest isn't in the fourth commandment, to make statements like that, I mean, that's a powerful statement. It's like, are you seriously? And I think it's interesting because this is the only commandment that is not repeated to obey in the Gospels. Check me on that. Go look. All the other commandments are repeated, all of them, to obey. Don't put any other gods before me. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Don't covet your neighbor. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. They're all repeated except this one. Except this one. And interestingly, I'm getting to that. Interestingly, Jesus regularly healed and did miracles on the Sabbath, almost as if to poke the Pharisees in the eye on this one. Regularly did miracles on the Sabbath, regularly healed on the Sabbath. And when the Pharisees challenged Jesus on his disciples not keeping the Sabbath, so his disciples are with them, with Jesus, and they're disobeying the Sabbath laws, this is what Jesus said. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. I'd love to hear those Bible pages turning. You come to Living Hope, you're going to need a Bible. Bring it. We're going to go through it. Matthew chapter 12. Starting at verse 1. Matthew chapter 12. Starting at verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. Oh, they're working. That's work. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." I'm sure they said it with that tone, too. And he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." And so he corrects them pretty clearly here. He said, "Look, my disciples are just plucking heads of grain. Have you not read what David did? He went into the house of God and ate the showbread. That's the bread of the sacrifice. I mean, that's part of the religious ritual. That was clearly not lawful for him to do, and he did that. Even the priests, they disobey the Sabbath by working on the Sabbath. You don't know what you're talking about. If you had really known the heart of God, Pharisees, you would know that I desire mercy and not sacrifice. You're getting it all wrong. It's about the heart. It's about your heart." And these verses here in Matthew, they're immediately following Jesus' invitation to come to him and find rest for our souls. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and find rest for your souls in me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light," he says. And so the point of all of this that I want us to understand this morning is that the Sabbath day, it is important. It was important. It had major significance as a shadow, a copy, a shadow, something pointing to the true rest we are to find in Christ. The weekly Sabbath prescribed in the Ten Commandments is not the real rest. It's not the real, true, eternal Sabbath. It's a memorial to the real one. The true Sabbath is a rest. The weekly Sabbath is a shadow which points us to Jesus Christ, just as the other Old Testament shadows do. The sacrificial lambs, the high priest, the incense, the temple instruments. When the work of Christ was finished on the cross, none of these were necessary anymore. No longer necessary. And the Apostle Paul writes of this in Colossians chapter 2. In talking to the church at Colossae, he says, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." Don't let anybody pass judgment on you for those things. They point to Jesus. That's what they do. And so it's not a day. The rest is not in a day. It's not in a day. And that's important to know, because there are some who are very confused about this. They will tell you all kinds of rules. "Oh, you're breaking the Sabbath." Don't break the Sabbath. You can't watch football on the Sabbath, and that's a Sunday, but it's not a Saturday, and it's really confusing because the Sabbath is a Saturday, and football's on the NFL football's on a Sunday. You'll hear all kinds of rules about this stuff. And it's like, well, who determined that? Who gets to say what is work on the Sabbath and who isn't? That's legalism. Be careful of that. If anybody starts to give you all these Sabbath rules, just as Pastor Vince says, chapter and verse, please. And who are you to determine what is now work on the Sabbath? Just be careful of that. Watch out for that. Don't let anyone pass judgment on you regarding the Sabbath. They may have their own convictions regarding the Sabbath, and that is fine. They should live their convictions. But as soon as you or someone else starts passing your convictions on others as sin and law and gospel, that's a problem. That is no longer Christian charity. No. So just watch out for that. Be a person that doesn't do that. Bear with one another's weaknesses, as the Bible says. And watch out for other people that try to do it to you. Verse 8, back to Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 8. Now, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered into God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So no rest. No rest. Even though through Solomon, God's rest from their enemies that was prophesied by Moses was fulfilled. There's still no rest because he's talking about a different rest here. And I'm going to go back to Deuteronomy 12. If you want to go, you can. Otherwise, you can just hold your place here. Deuteronomy 12, verse 8. Moses teaches them, you shall not do according to all that we are doing here today, everyone doing whatever is right in his own eyes. For you have not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance that the Lord your God is giving you. So he says, look, there is a rest to come. When you go over the Jordan and live in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and when he gives you rest from all your enemies around so that you live in safety, then to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name dwell there, you shall bring offerings, sacrifices, tithes, etc. So Moses talks about a place that they will go and they will find rest, and they will have rest from all their enemies all around. But we see here in our text today, Joshua did not give them that rest by leading them into the promised land. If Joshua had given them the rest, he wouldn't have talked about another day in Psalm 95. David did not give them the rest. If so, he would not have written in Psalm 95 of another rest that they could have by not hardening their hearts. Solomon did not even give them the rest. Even though in 1 Kings chapter 5, he said, now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. So again, you see this imagery here. There's this theme going through the scriptures like a beautiful tapestry. He had rest from his enemies all around, Solomon did. He says, there is neither adversary nor misfortune. So maybe for that short pocket of time, the nation, King Solomon, had rest from their enemies. But it wasn't true rest for their souls that God was talking about. Because we know not long after Solomon was king in Israel, that Israel turned from the Lord, was taken into exile from the land by various enemies as judgment on them for their sin and idolatry. And so we know from these texts, from God's word, that they did not enter the true and lasting rest of God, either through the Sabbath day or in the promised land. It wasn't found in those things. And so, verse 11 says, let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Hebrews 4:11. So that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. And so the rest is not in a day. It's not in a land. It is in Jesus who said this, come to me, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls in me, Jesus says. It's in me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so, brothers and sisters, we learn from these things today that you can only find true rest for your anxious and weary souls in Jesus Christ. That's where you find it. And so rejoice in Jesus, Philippians 4 says. Put away your anxieties and pray to him with a thankful heart. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's the kind of rest we need for our weary souls. And that's the kind of rest Jesus gives us. And you know, this is work. This is work, you know. It says here in verse 11, doesn't it say, strive to enter that rest? Strive to enter rest. Isn't that, it seems like a paradox, doesn't it? It's like, I got to work to enter rest. We strive to enter the rest. We're so often tempted each day to trust ourselves and our own efforts, aren't we? Isn't it a struggle every day to trust in the Lord Jesus and stop striving after the things of the world? Trying to fix everything ourselves? Trying to not be anxious? We work at it every day. We strive for it. Because we naturally want to believe that our way is better than God's way. That's our natural heart inclination. And so we work. Let us strive to enter the rest, he says. And we know from this text, too, that God knows our hearts. He knows how weak our faith is and how we're prone to rebel and disobey. As the hymn writer wrote, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. And so God knows your heart. He knows my heart. And you can't hide anything from him. No one is hidden from his sight. As the text says here, we're all naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. And so, there is no longer any work that we do for our salvation. There's no longer really any work we do for our peace. You can relate it to two different things here. Our salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We cease from our works and we rest in him. We have salvation and life in him. And also for our own peace in our souls. We can trust in the Lord Jesus in the struggles of life. Cast our cares on him. Because he cares for us. So no, we trust in Jesus, and his peace and joy satisfies our souls. Just as God rested from his work because his work was finished and complete in Genesis 2, what did Jesus say when he was on the cross in his last breaths? It is finished. It is finished. It is complete. It is done. We no longer work for it. We have salvation by grace through faith in Christ. It is finished. So, brothers and sisters, let us enter into the true rest for our souls by trusting in Jesus day by day by day by day for salvation, for a life abundantly, for life eternal. When the bad health report comes, trust in Jesus. When you lose your job, trust in Jesus. When the bank account is empty and overdrawn, and the creditors are calling, you trust in Jesus. When the car breaks down, you trust in Jesus. When they hate you because of Jesus, you trust in him. When you feel lonely, talk to Jesus. When you feel discouraged and defeated, trust in him. When the college rejects you, trust in Jesus. When your children struggle, trust in him. When your marriage struggles, trust in Jesus Christ. There is rest for our souls, for the faithful in Jesus. And so, trust in Jesus and find rest for your souls today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your finished work on the cross. And Lord, remind us, may your Holy Spirit fill our hearts day by day by day, every moment of the day, and remind us over and over again to trust. Trust in you, Lord Jesus, and find rest for our anxious and weary souls in you. And may our hearts overflow with your love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And may the world see that, Lord Jesus, in our lives and give glory to you and sing a new song to you, Lord Jesus. So thank you for these words. Thank you for your Spirit. We pray in your name. Amen.